All right, I want to pick up where we left off last week, James chapter 4. James chapter 4, in fact, we're going to go to verse 1 in just a little bit where the Bible teaches us you have not because you ask not. I was able to worship with the top of the trees this morning. You know that? I didn't have to go very high because the wind knocked them all down in a row. My treetops were down the road, right there on my level, I guess you'd say. It took a while for the county to come out, but we took care of the three of us, chainsaws and all kinds of, I don't have any elbow grease anymore. I think I left it all there. But it's bad sometimes in things we have to put up with. It really wasn't that bad because we had a barn about, I guess, the springtime last year, we had a barn tore down. Reed took care of that for us, watched it burn down. It's a good thing. It was a bad barn, old barn. And I think it was holding the trees up from the wind. And it got windy this morning. About 5 o'clock, I heard something. I was sitting by the computer in the office at home, and I heard it. I thought, that don't sound good. It's too dark to look out. But about 6, I looked out and I went, oh, dear. Something like that. You know what I mean? And my first response was amen. And then it was, oh no. Because we got to do something to get them out because it blocked the whole county coming down that way. But, you know, our lives are like that. And I want to start out this morning. Something that I said last week, kind of just a little bit, that sometimes the Lord lets me do. And I've done it, been able to do it for years and years, and most everybody catches it, and I wasn't trying to do it last week. Was a surprise to me. But there's a lot of times the preacher will say something, and it'll disturb you. Maybe irritate you. I don't know how it makes you feel. But I said last week, look at verse 17, James 4. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I made the mention of it's good to come to church and it's good to read the Bible. And if you don't do it because it's good, it's a sin. And there's a more depth to it than that. And that's what I want to do this morning. It's not just a surface or check a box. Because there's a lot of people that never miss, but they still never get out of anything out of it. For one reason or another. But the message this morning is important. It's the second part of last week's. Last week's is on the website, Dry Creek Baptist Church. We have a website now. The other ones I put on there, they're not on there yet, and I don't know when this one will be on there, so it might be tomorrow or Tuesday, I don't know, just whenever they decide to put it on, but it is on there, and we're going to start using that more, and this is a good day for if somebody missed to be able to go back and listen. But before we get started in James 4, let's bow our heads as we pray. Father, we thank you again for your word and, Lord, your power, the opportunity to pray. And Lord, we need you today. We pray you help us as the world is continuing to go the way it's going. You've never changed, and Lord, you want us to obey you. Help us, Lord, to understand more about your word. Help us to understand what you want us to do in our lives. And we pray you give us the power to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 4, I'm going to look at the first 3 verses today. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Now we went over verses 13 to 17 last week. And it'll make us easier understanding in these first verses. If we'd have went the other way, it'd have been different. I'll tell you that. But these first 3 verses talks about the battle that's inside of us is where it starts. It doesn't matter what Russia's doing. It doesn't matter what the White House is doing. It doesn't matter what the Democrats or Republicans are doing. It doesn't matter at all. Where everything starts is in our own hearts. Everybody's heart that they have is described in these first 3 verses. There's a battle that's within. And inside that heart that we all have, there's fightings and wars with our own selves. The first war, the first battle always starts inside of us. It's because of what I want, what I desire, what I can have. We have a battle going on between what I want and what I can have. But do we really have anything? Or does it have us? Everybody has possessions. They have titles. They have deeds. And they're good. They're legal. But do we really have? You see, we have a desire in our hearts to want and to get it any way we can. And the Bible is very clear in verse 1 that even people will fight and war to get what they want so that they can have. We want to satisfy our own desires instead of submitting to God. And the three verses put together, it would be said by somebody, I can't get what I want to have, and God won't give me what I want. You see, this is very, very serious, because what James is talking about is people actually will ask for things out of their lust. Ask God for it. Even though we don't know that we do, deep down in our heart, we want something so bad to satisfy us that we'll even ask God to give it to us. And even those things that are right take a while sometimes, don't they? It has to be God's will. It has to be in His time. But the truth this morning, it's the first awesome point, is I can really have what I want, can I? I can get it. Can't you? If you want something bad enough, you can get it. If you want something bad enough, you can take it, can't you? If something doesn't belong to you and you want it, you can have it by taking it. And then you can enjoy everything you have gotten that you've ever desired for just a little while, because you're fixing to lose it to someone else just like you and just like me. That's the definition of the whole world, isn't it? Wars and rumors of wars and spiritual battles and the devil and Satan. It's all in our hearts, in our minds, and everybody's the same. What I want to do first, though, in verse 2, the lust, we need to describe that. We need to make clear that people understand what that means. It's not just a temptation. It's not just our nature. It's a deep passion, lust. Everybody looks in places they shouldn't. Sometimes things jump out at us that we didn't want, that we didn't look after, but it's tempting, isn't it? All kinds of things that could be wrong if they went too far. But this lust that he's talking about is very, very, very deep. And it's something that never ends. It's something that's twisted and deep enough that it turns into, I will have, I'm going to take. Whatever I have to do, I'm going to get that. That's what the lust is in this. And that's not everybody. And that's not all the time that we have those. I mean, there's things that we like. There's attractions we have. Of course we have attractions. Adam was attracted to Eve, and Eve was attracted to Adam. Those are natural things. Normal things. Marriage today, God has the law that He sets forth in the Bible, doesn't He? Between a man and a woman. All these things are natural things that the attraction itself might be called a temptation, but it's not always lust. Because it's not something that I can do without it. I can let it go. Well, it was a good thought, but maybe not now. I'm talking about that situation that we all experience. I'd like that if I could get it. Or you drive up beside a red Corvette and you look at it and say, Lord, I'm not supposed to covet. I want one just like that. I don't want that one. Kind of on those lines. But we're talking about the devious, deep, I've got to, I want to, I will have it. And if I don't, I don't know what I'll do. There's a difference, isn't there? Now, I remember back when I was in first grade, where my life of this kind started. We had to walk down, I guess, about 3/4 of a mile from our house to the end of the road to catch the bus. And on that bus was a lot of bigger kids. And I had an older brother, and he always put me up to stuff. He was my manager, I guess. And we would go down there at the end of the bus, and we were kind of middle. I was in the middle. There was a lot younger and a lot older. And it got to be the kids in my neighborhood. There would be some of them that would take other kids' lunch money. And before I knew it, I had a new reputation of getting kids' lunch money back for them from the bullies. And it got to be fun, it got to be good, and I got a reputation. And my brother took advantage of it. He come lunchtime and he said, "Hey, you need to meet me at the bus stop. I got somebody for you to fight." And it was somebody else's older brother getting their little brother to us to fight. And it got out of hand pretty quick. But you know what was different back then than it is now? They won't let it happen naturally. Every bully that took somebody's money that they got their money back ended up being my best friend. That's the way boys acted when I was young, in the 60s, early 70s. You took care of stuff and you stood up to people, backed them down. Didn't have to do a whole lot most of the time, but you were friends. I don't know what's changed. I don't know why it's got to be that way. My older brother got me in trouble one time. I was thinking about this morning when I was out there waiting for the county to come help me with the trees. Anyway, my brother told me, I think I was in 3rd or 4th grade, and there was a guy that wasn't going to have nothing to do with me, and I was scared to death of him. And he kept trying to corner me in different places, and one day in the restroom, he cornered me, and I got out. I ran away from him and told my brother. My brother said, "Here's what you do. The next time he corners you, you take off your tennis shoes, and you put one tennis shoe in the left hand and one tennis shoe in the right hand, and you start beating your head with it. And if he's still around there, I don't know what to tell you, but more than likely, he's going to run." You know what he did? He ran away from me. He thought I was crazy, because I was. And I'd rather be crazy than hurt real bad. Because they used to hit you right here. You ever got hit right here? I mean, it'll make you cry even if you're not sad. And that's the way I grew up. And it was fun sometimes. It was shallow. But it wasn't something that I just had to have. It was more self-defense than anything. And then a little bit of testimony, I guess. I met Sandy in college. It was a Baptist college. And I worked for the state of Texas. I was a caseworker, and I did parole work. And I had kids all day long, every day. I had individual counseling. I had a group counseling. I had their folders, legal folders that was stacked like that, and I could read through what the court said and all the counseling and everything. And I began to realize that kids were programmed even back in the early 80s. And it's not changed yet, the way the devil works. Every one of them would give a testimony something like this. "Before I thought about doing anything, there was an adult that was around me that told me these things, told me about doing this, asking me about that, putting it in my head." And then they would turn around and say, "Have you ever thought about that?" "Well, yes, I have, because you told me. You put it in there." "Well, then you must be that way." And I'm not going any farther, but that goes away from perversion to robbery to all these different criminal things. It never came into their heart naturally. Somebody put it there. And then they turn around later on and somebody followed up and says, "Hey, you thought about it. You might as well do it." And I look in the Bible. Who put stuff into Eve's head? The devil. It never has changed, has it? It never is going to change. But what I want to talk about this morning is the passion, the lust, the war. It starts in us first, and then we're like others. We get together, and we build a team, and we go against the other team. And everybody's got it inside of them to lust with a passion, to fight, cause trouble, and conquer each other. And that's the way the world is now in every aspect of our lives. But the greatest thing, before we go on, is I can have all that God wants me to have. Bible says I have not because I ask not. And when I do ask, I don't act right because I want him to give me something that I can't have, but he could give me, and he won't because it's not right. But the most blessed thing this morning is that God wants us to have, doesn't he? He wants us to have him. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have love. And we could go on and on and on. There's so many things. And we can have it, can't we? No one else or nothing else can give us what God can. And because God can and because God wants to, it's a matter of asking. Can you imagine getting to heaven and all God would say is, I wanted to, but you didn't ask? Wouldn't that be awful? The troubles, the perversion, the power struggles in the world today. And God wants us to ask him. And all we have to do to have is to ask him. A lot of folks need to have a lot of things that they don't. That even fighting a war and winning wouldn't get you. If nobody can give it but God, we have to do it with his standards. We have to do what he says to get it. We don't have it, but we need to ask. Now, there's more to that part, and I'm not going to go any further. But the battle that's on the inside is everywhere on the outside. Everything that we know and everything that we have around us is infected with a disease and sick, isn't it? When it comes to sickness and disease, they tell me that everybody has the cells in them already. You ever heard that? My brother told me that with his lung cancer. He says, nobody knows, nobody studied it. God's not giving anybody any information, but it could happen to everybody. And you're going to have to live with it somehow. Sometimes it's curable, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's treatable even, but it's always going to be there. And the more I think of those lines, I think about sin, isn't it? It's in everybody. It's in different stages, some. Eventually, sin is going to get us and take us over, isn't it? It's treatable. And it can be curable by the blood of Jesus through salvation. And even though we're saved, we're still going to go through some things in our life. I remember back, I don't know what it is, I guess I'm having flashbacks of elementary school. I remember the merry-go-round. Any of y'all ever got on a merry-go-round? Do kids have those at school anymore? Is there still merry-go-rounds? Not much, I don't know. But I always liked to get on it before it got spinning, you know? And I would get on it, and I didn't have a long leg, so I had a free ride. I got on it, and all the tall guys, they're the ones that grab a hold and run around. And I enjoyed that. And I liked watching folks trying to get on. They was out there, and you could watch them go. And they was trying to find a good guy. That was good, wasn't it? Y'all liked it. And you couldn't get on unless it slowed down. And one day I came in too late, and I couldn't get on it without getting hurt. If life was like a merry-go-round, maybe we would learn. Maybe if it went so fast we got spun off and scraped our legs and our face sometime, that we learned to get on it before it got started so fast. And the problem I've got with people in the world is they can get thrown off and go back again and try to get on it again. You see, the truth that I want to try to share with you this morning, things are deeper than what we think they are. It's good to come to church because I learned about God. I fellowship with other Christians. It's good to read my Bible because God can open my eyes. And God can speak to my heart, and God can speak to your heart. No wars, no politics, nobody around, just there in the house or wherever I'm at with the Lord. It's good to go to church because. It's good to read my Bible because. And when I've experienced the good and I believe it with all my heart, it would be a sin. It would hurt me. It would interfere. It would help me lose fellowship with the Lord, because I've already known. And for him to know to do good and do it not, it's a sin. It's not just, oh, the preacher said I just miss church, and if I go to church, I'll be okay. No, that's not what he said. It's because I understand what going to church, because I understand what reading the Bible means, because I understand the close relationship I have with the Lord. That's good, isn't it? In fact, some folks got a taste of it during COVID. Some churches in California were forbidden. We didn't have that problem. And if it was a sin just not to go to church, then everybody's sinned. There's a reason we don't come, and it's not an excuse. I didn't think we ought to come, because I don't want to get sick and have somebody die. Because they were dying, weren't they? And a mask, some folks was against masks. I didn't want to get Sandy's mother and daddy sick. I don't have no problem with a mask. In fact, I wish I had one in high school. I had many people talk to me. You know? But that's the point. We can say things and be legalistic and like a Pharisee, and people don't really understand. The good that we know, that we've experienced, to know to do good, and there's a lot of good, isn't there? And do it not, it's a sin. Not a sin that you're going to lose your salvation, but a sin that's going to get me away from God. I know of preachers that said things they should have never said during COVID. It's wrong, isn't it? It's good to be safe. It's good to not infect folks and watch them die. You see, the shallowness that we have causes us trouble when we don't try to get in deeper. I like the Sunday school lesson. I missed it this morning. I studied it. But the opposite of lust, I looked for it all week, and then I opened up the Sunday school book and it was right there. Set your affections on things that are affections that are spiritual. That's the opposite of lust that we're talking about. A deep affection for the Lord. And when we do that, we mortify those lusts, those thoughts. Mortify means to deaden. How many of y'all ever went and got some Novocaine in your tooth? You didn't even feel them taken out. It was amazing. You could, hey, I don't feel that. That's good. You know? And we need to put some Novocaine, some spiritual love and affection on our mind and our thoughts. And then we can worship. And then we can praise. So I'm going to head right to the very end. Look at verse 7. Submit. This is the deliverance for us. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. At the same time, all at once, while I submit myself to God, I'm resisting the devil. Do you have faith or do you believe? They're both the same. Do you submit and resist? They're both at the same time. When I resist the devil, I can submit myself to the Lord. And when I submit myself to the Lord, the devil's going to get away. Just imagine the way the world is, all the technology, all the money that we've seen, trillions now. Used to be millionaires were now there's trillionaires, or fixing to be if there's not. And everything has changed, people say, and there's diversity. But I want to let you know this morning that there isn't any diversity in the world. Education, science, math, physics, chemistry, government, the world, they're all stay the same. The same science, the same physics. I could ask my son about the first two laws of aerodynamics, and he could tell me about it because he's an engineer. I'd get messed up if I tried to learn, but they're true, aren't they? Chemistry's the same as it's always been and always will be, isn't it? God treats us the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If everything was diverse and everything was changing or mutating, you could never figure it out. You know how they go to outer space? Because everything's the same. every calculation. If everybody wants to do it, they could. They got the money. If they got the brain power, they would come up with the same calculations, wouldn't they? When folks go to the hospital, there's a study on this. They still do heart surgery the same, don't they? There's some more advanced than others, and some can help more. And symptoms are the same. Everything's the same all the time, every day, forever, because God said so. We've advanced a little bit. That means we got a little deeper in it. But you still go back. It's the same. The ABCs are still A through Z. Ask Hannah. I listened to her yesterday. She had that little thing. A, B, C. And that's good. I learned again. You know? Bible verses you can do that with. New Testament, Old Testament. They never change. The Bible is still Genesis to Revelation, isn't it? Judah and Jacob and Moses, they're still the same, aren't they? Everything that we know is precise, calculated, and we can figure it out, can't we? Somebody can, and they can teach others to do that. There's a lot of men that were evil that rose up. Alexander the Great and Hitler. Now they're using people today and calling them Hitlers and things like that, aren't they? But those men are gone, aren't they? And some of the ones that haven't been born yet, they'll be here. And if they turn to evil, they'll do the same thing or attempt to the same thing that all these other men that did. There's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. And he's the wisest man on the earth. And the more I think about that, the more I realize God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? And all the people and all the thoughts and all the new gimmicks and everything that happens from church to school to government, everything, always goes back to the simple, basic formulas, doesn't it? Love is still love. God is still God, isn't it? People can try to change and attempt to mess up, but they'll never be able to do it. Every time somebody uses their old brain power to build themselves a tower, all God has to do is come down and put a stop to it. And I thought, and I said this last week, I just can't imagine people say that we're only using 10% of our brain power. And that might be true. But as smart as we are and as good as we can get, as much money as we can get a hold of, God's going to stop it one time or another, isn't he? Because God is God and he's in control. You see, the trouble that we have is this is a process, not a burning passion. And when we go away from God's process of salvation, God's process of the cross, God's process of the resurrection, God's process of coming back again, huh? He's going to take us home. The process of dying itself, we understand that, don't we? I mean, everything is just concrete, precise, just like God says it is. It's not like a recipe for biscuits and gravy. I messed that up. More milk, more flour, more milk, more flour. Sandy says, I'll do it. We're not feeding 35 people. It's just me and you. And the eggs nowadays, oh my goodness. That's not good. Sandy dropped an egg, and I said, oh no. How much is that going to cost us? I just had a little bit of egg that morning. But isn't it true this morning, and always will be, we have not because we ask not. We get troubled. We get messed up. We need to submit ourselves to God. And when we submit ourselves to God, the devil is gone, and he's resisted. Trouble that we have, things we don't understand, things that overwhelm us. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw near to us. It's us going to him. I need God. I need to draw near to him. And how special it is when he draws next to me. It says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. You see, those aren't things that we try to do. That's a result of drawing near to God and humbling ourselves and understanding that we need God and we don't have because we don't ask. And then the greatest verse is verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. The whole world needs lifted up, don't they? We've gone into a brand new government now, brand new group of people, and the old ones are fighting it. We've got morality back, it looks like, don't we? And we didn't have it before. I believe it's an answered prayer, and I don't care what anybody thinks. I've had two supervisors in a row call me in and say, "You don't care what nobody thinks, do you?" I said, "No, sir, I don't. Not at all. Don't sweat it. I don't stress it. You know, if you ask me to do what I'm supposed to, I do it. If you tell me to do something I'm not supposed to, I'm not doing it." It's just that simple. God's made it pretty simple for me. But our life and our spiritual life, we need the Lord, don't we? And what a bad thing to happen that the reason that we have, that we don't get what we need, what we want, what we desire, because we did everything to get it except asking God. I started asking God years ago, "Lord, I need you. I can't do this. I don't want to fall." In fact, I get an extra special blessing because every week, at least twice a week now, Sunday morning and Wednesday night, my desire is to preach and to teach and to study and bring a message. And I get closer to God than I've ever been by studying and saying, "Lord, I've got to. You've got to help me. I ask you. Help me to understand. Help me to study. Help me to get through it, follow through." And Lord, there's people lost that will be there. And Lord, there's a hell, isn't there? And not just a hell, but there's an old age sickness and minds and cancer and all these things that when people least expect it, here comes one. We need the Lord. And what a shame it is to understand all we have to do is ask. Ask. I have not because I ask not. I preached that message a long, long time ago at Auburn Town, and I still have people tell me, "Remember what you said?" I said, "No, I remember what James said." It's James that God has started, not me, but I'm just believing what James said. And you see, the problem is we're not better or bigger than anybody else, but when we're all following the same Lord, probably going to look the same, act the same, and worship the same, reason the same. Because it's the truth, isn't it? And think about it. Everything's precise. Everything's on God's time. Everything's standardized. And people want to tell you it's not. They want to use science and they want to use math. And they can't do that because you can't change that. A quart's still a quart, isn't it? A gallon's still a gallon. All those things are always going to be true. I want to be where God wants me to be. How about you? And what a shame this morning if you're here, you're lost. God loves you. And you'll never stand before him and say you didn't know, you didn't hear, or you didn't understand. Even if the preacher misses or mother and daddy miss, Jesus says, "I came to seek and to save those that are lost." And he will, won't he? I enjoy talking to kids. I enjoy talking to everybody about the Lord. But I always look, the first thing I look for is the Lord drawing them. Is the Lord drawing them? And when the Lord's drawing them, you just sit back and listen. When God begins a good work, he finishes it, doesn't he? When God begins to draw, we lead. And teach people that here's what's going on. And all you got to do is submit and receiving. And I'll tell everybody, some of y'all know it more than others, but when I'm talking to somebody about the Lord and about being saved, I'll go over those things with them. And I tell them, I don't want you without a doubt to know, and you go back to a day, a time in your life, that it was God in you before anybody else knew, before you came to mother, before you came to daddy, before you came to the preacher. You knew that there was something growing inside of you that was right. Something that brought you shame, conviction maybe, fear. But when we have that, there's an open door, isn't there? And all they need to do is ask. That's what the Bible says. You have not because you ask not. What I'll do is I'll pray. And then I'll tell them, I want you to pray the best you can. And cover what we talked about. Don't lead them. Don't talk for them. And you can be amazed at some of the prayers you get to hear. It's awesome, isn't it? Awesome. Because it's real. It's God. And he never changes, does he? You're here today and you're lost. And this is a good day. There's no bad day to get saved. You come and I'll share with you. We'll talk after church. Anytime. If you hear me, are saved. Don't you see that coming to church is good, but the sin part is knowing what it does for me, what God's shown me, and then later deciding I don't need that. That's what's wrong. And it's not a sin that's going to destroy you or curse you. It's a sin that's going to cause you a block between you and the Lord. That's why we need to submit. That's why we need to draw near. And that's why we need to humble ourselves. God, I need you. And I want you to help me now. Because it's true. I have not because I ask not. I want to ask if you stand this morning. And bow your head and hold your eyes.
Father, we thank you for your love.